At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It's July 31st, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl, thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. Yes, it's still a place people go. Yes, it's still where you can find me. But it's time right now on this channel, right here, right now, for your TNA Impact and AEW Collision Post Show. I was hinted that this would be happening yesterday. We knew that Collision was tonight. We just didn't know who was going to be doing the Collision Post Show. So when reached out to, I said, it started off with, I have a favor to ask. And I said, oh, would you like us to do a Collision and TNA Post Show? And they said, no, I don't think so. And I said, okay, we'll see. Cause I'm pretty sure that one host works with me on Thursdays and the other two are, well, one's at the show tonight and the other one is currently en route to New York and New Jersey for a big SummerSlam event. So maybe you might want to ask me. And they're like, I'll get back to you. That night I got a message and it said, hey, got a favor to ask you. So here we are with me always, the number one, my ride or die. Do you want to know something? She is number one. Fletchlight, Crest of Stars here.
I thought that was very corporate money of you, Mr. Well, Overbooked.
I'm not here to be corporate. I'm here to be professional.
The most professional podcaster over here at Fightful. I'm doing well. Hello, everyone. It is I, Corporate Cresta. Nice to see you guys all here early and clocked in for work. We are the only ones who come to work and we're no days off. We are literally you, me, and Jeremy Lambert.
That is true. Listen, folks, if you want plenty of scoops going on through the weekend and beyond, go over to FightfulSelect.com. The best $5.99, $6, if you will, in the business. Today, I had a lovely conversation, myself and Jeremy Lambert, speaking of whom, we did a nice, lovely conversation with the director of WWE Unreal. Go check out the notes. The interview drops for everybody tomorrow at 8 a.m. However, if you want to see it ahead of time, Fightful Select Tier 2 subscribers have access to that now. Did a great 30 minutes with them and had plenty to ask and plenty to talk about. So go check that out. Very, very, very happy with that conversation. And on top of that, you get plenty of news, plenty of scoops, why some delays in building the SummerSlam set happened today, and a photo to go with it. Of course, plenty of scoops coming up to SummerSlam and beyond. We know that Forbidden Door is coming up. We'll be getting all your news. We'll be getting all your scoops, all that and more over FightfulSelect.com, plus all the content beyond the content. So go check that out. Folks, what do we want to do tonight? Cresta and I watched both shows to a certain degree. Cresta more one, me more the other. I tried to keep up. Started late.
I have notes on both things tonight. Hey. Not as good notes on TNA. In fact, my TNA notes are typically 4 pages or 2. So, you know, I know what happens, but I have notes on both. I'm here. I was sports cross-eyed tonight. I'm seeing double.
4 wrestling shows. Well, while everyone in the chat is deciding what you want to do, TNA first or AEW first, leave it in the chat. Collision or TNA, gift your votes in. While you're getting your votes in, you can go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the video. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel. We drop every day something fun and great for you to watch. So this is on this channel. Go ahead, tap the bell for notifications. You can also donate a super chat, any amount, get your question or your statement read on the air. And also, you can go to humperchats.com, and Cresta is going to tell you all about that.
Do you ever want to participate in the conversation? Do you not want to put it in YouTube for whatever reason? Are you tired of just sending regular chats? Now you can head over to humperchats.com. You can always head over to humperchats.com, but let's assume you didn't know about humperchats.com. What's humperchats.com? Well, humperchats.com is a place where you can go and donate your humper chat to wearhumperchats.com, and we'll get to read that on air. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. So go ahead and head over to wearhumperchats.com. Thank you so much. If you don't do that, you will be receiving a write-up in your personal email.
Do you have their personal emails?
I have everybody's personal email. Even you, I like to sniff wrestlers' feet 69.
Though, first of all, that's an old email. That is, we're talking 25 years ago.
I wasn't talking at you, but I see that a hit dog will holler. Come see me in my office afterwards, Mr. Paul. Paul?
Don't know my last name, doesn't count.
Do you know who I am? No, sticks the test in the middle. See you, nerd.
Chat seems to want to be doing collision. I want to test something. Cresta, put your hand out like this. We're going to do a rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, so wait.
If I win, it's TNA. If you win, okay. It's AEW, because that's who we were covering tonight. Shall we?
Okay, ready?
All right, we're just doing one round. Oh, and it's rock, paper, scissors. Like you shoot on scissors.
Okay.
Yeah, so one, two, three.
Rock, paper, scissors. But when you say scissors, it's like rock, paper.
Yeah, you got
okay,
it.
Okay, okay. Right. Ready?
This is fun for the audio crowd. You're welcome. Here we go.
Rock, paper,
scissors.
Guys, I don't know. What is that? Is that hand? Hey, we're doing TNA first. Get into it, y'all.
All right. People say just do TNA first. Nothing happened. You know what? We can probably get through this really quick. TNA tonight opens up with the next division three-way. Leon Slater, the champion, defeats Jason Hotch and Cedric Alexander. This is a conduit to get Leon Slater versus Cedric Alexander, which will happen at Emergence. The match was great. A very fast-paced, quick six-minute opener. A great opportunity for Jason Hotch to get some shine while still trying to do Leon Slater and Cedric Alexander as the match. Hotch eats the pin. Slater gets the win. It's the first triple threat X Division title match in over a year. Do you know when the last one was, Cresta Star? I don't expect you to, but if you do, let's hear it.
First of all, expectations are for lizards. Second of all, you are right. I don't know. So please enlighten me.
I had to dig too. It was hard to kill 2024. It was Chris Sabin, Vikingo, and Kushida.
I do remember that match because that's when Chris Sabin was on his I'm the champion now. Sorry, Alex Shelley, get into it. Motor City Machine, this. I do remember that.
Yep. It's good stuff. Slater wins with he gets the twist of Slate, which is the twist of fate. Does it off top rope and does it kind of Tower of London style. They shout out Desmond Wolfe, former Nigel McGuinness, or at least we know him now as Nigel McGuinness. Some good stuff there. And a Swanton 450 gets the win. And Alexander, he eyes down Slater. So they go to the back and they set up the match for Emergence. It's a friendly conversation. And the whole idea is Alexander wasn't pinned in the match. And Leon Slater wants to tie up loose ends. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a very, very fun match between Leon Slater and Cedric Alexander.
My two cents on this match is one, surprise, Order 4 didn't try to interfere. They all came down, so I was sports concerned. Number two, I do like seeing Leon Slater get the win here. Like building him up against people like Cedric Alexander. And Jason Hotch has also been doing really, really well in TNA. It's fine. It's a good match. I will say that to have expectations for TNA is to know that the wrestling is always going to be good. In very rare cases, I'm like, now what is happening here? So the match being good, that's the bare minimum. That's what you guys did. That's not me.
It's very, very simple just because you've got a great champion, Leon Slater. You want to build him. Fightful Select had contract news on him. He is still signed for through 2026. So stick around for him. He is a diamond in the rough. He is someone you want to keep around and build a franchise around. Absolutely. And TNA has a little bit more time with him. And I think working with Cedric Alexander is a great first step for Leon Slater to keep getting that build as a singles competitor.
Yeah, and eventually I would love to see Leon Slater versus Mustafa Ali. That would absolutely be the move because from what I've seen so far, you can absolutely keep up with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on. Indy Hartwell and Danny Luna defeat Jody Threat and Ariana Grace. This match just, it happened. The story of the match was Jody Threat and Danny Luna going one-on-one and having some interaction. They do a spot where Ariana Grace is sitting on the second rope and facing the audience while Jody Threat and Danny Luna are having their match. Danny Luna gets thrown into the rope. She goes through the ropes because Grace is sitting on the second rope and it was an accidental, spot. And then Ariana Grace takes advantage. Threat's very apprehensive after that to tag it back in on her former partner. Threat goes for pop shove it. Luna reverses it to the Luna landing. She gets the win for her team. Indy Hartwell comes in, does a couple of things, but the story of the match was Danny Luna and Jody Threat. And you've got Victoria Crawford at ringside doing God knows what. This is a thing they're doing.
Honestly, this could have been an email. I'll make it even more streamlined. You really just could have done Danny Luna versus Jody Threat. honestly, at that point, because that's what most of the match was. Every time I turned around, it was Danny doesn't want to hit a Falcon Arrow on Jody. Jody doesn't want to tag in on Danny. Just kiss. Just kiss already. You know what I mean? Just kiss. Just kiss.
I've said it before. I've said it again. I don't think I want to see. I don't want to see Jody Threat and Danny Luna having some sort of beef just because they're not a team anymore. They didn't want to split up. They split up because they lost a match for the tag titles. They should just be set apart. That's it. Let it go.
I do think that it's a bit silly that we're dragging this on because people break up from tag teams all the time and then they wrestle each other and then they move on. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I do find that booking women just seems to be so hard.
For them, it seems to be. I don't know why. There again, I'm not going to get into the quality of the Knockouts division right now. We have enough to talk about tonight, and you and True. I every Thursday cover this stuff for now. Jake Something wants the TNA International title. He says he's put away Mance Warner. Now he wants Macklin. Macklin steps to Jake Something. This is something, no pun intended, and I'm going to be saying that a lot, but Jake Something, this is a match I've been screaming from the rooftops. So we've been waiting to see it. Jake Something, Steve Macklin, that's a match I need in my bones.
In your soul, you can feel it. I will say it's very interesting when I watch wrestling to see Steve Macklin come in and for me to be like, oh, okay, whatever. He's this guy. And now for me to be endlessly rooting for him. Tonight when Jake Something was calling him out because it was a commercial, I remember this promo. Macklin looks like, brother, I hate everything and I especially hate you. So Macklin looks like he hates, not that he hates his job, but you know that one guy who shows up to work every week, his beard's growing in. He hasn't slept in 3 hours. He's the most reliable person. He doesn't want to do it, but he cares about his team. That's Steve Macklin right now. And honestly, give Mr. Steven Macklin a raise.
Hey, man, I've been saying it for the longest time. give him his flowers and give him his money, okay?
Honestly, because if I was Steve Macklin, so what do you mean to tell me all the main titles lost and now I'm the guy and now you guys aren't respected? Okay. I'm beating up everybody. I'm not shaving and I'm beating up everybody.
Said it before, I'll say it again. Macklin and Something should have been the match at Slammiversary.
Agreed.
Other things got in the way. The fourth rope integration needed to happen, blah, blah, blah. Now we're just going to get back to it. Again, should have been pay-per-view. It should have been a big match. Unfortunately, we got to wait it out. So now they're going to do it at Emergence and hopefully it's as expected by all parties.
True.
The Rascals defeat the Nemeths. Nick Nemeth, they're both annoying, okay? Nick and Ryan Nemeth are obnoxious. There's nothing really to add here. Well, let's get to the finish. Nick Nemeth, he hits a super kick from the floor as Wentz does a handspring in the ring. He's going for some sort of move. And then it's a nice little moment there. And then Myron Reed takes out Nick Nemeth with the flame on, which is that jumping cutter to the outside. Wentz hits a spiral tap on Ryan Nemeth and gets the win. But this is where it really all happens. Post-match, they come back from the break. The Nemeths want their tag title rematch against the Hardys. They run down Rhode Island where they're taping the show. So out comes Hometown Man. He's a boat captain or something. They beat down Hometown Man, do the Nemeths, because they're actually baby faces in disguise in this town. And they take off the mask, and oh my God, it's Cody Deaner. And even Tom Hannafin's annoyed with it. And Nemeth accidentally super kicks a security guard, and the Rascals come back to make the save. My God, save me now. Make it end, please. Hometown Man. We retired the Hometown Man, and we're going to talk about another retirement angle that they're running that they don't need to be doing. So what are we thinking here, Tina? What are we doing?
I don't know. Half of this match was on mute for me because I was watching Collision. So it now was it makes
at that point.
But now it makes sense that when they came back from commercials, the Nemeths were still in the ring. I was like, match is over. Myron Reed, Zachary Russo put their hands up and left. What are we... Don't make me call security. You've been fired. Speaking of people who came, who were fired, Mr. Deaner showing up with a fake ID, Hometown Man, that's not even your real name. I honestly, I was more sports entertained thinking about Joel saying, finally, Scar's out of here. I don't normally pray on people's downfalls. So I was uplifted by the joy that I know you were having in that moment. When they demasked him, at that point, I'm like, listen, if we do Hometown Man next week or we bring back Cody Deaner, I already know you were full of jokes, TNA, but whew, this one's a funny joke. And there were more jokes in the main event. So again, if you guys are ever wondering, why is Cresta corporate Cresta? Shenanigans like this. You won't play in my face twice.
Frankie Kazarian's upset that he's not being used. That's really what that comes down to. So Anything else to add about Frankie Kazarian and his spot on the card being non-existent? He keeps getting called away from commentary. That shit last week, that was funny. But otherwise, we're not doing much with Frankie Kazarian.
You're a cheat, and you tried to help NXT. I wouldn't have a space for you either.
Mike Santana comes out. He's going to cut a promo and talk about Slammiversary. This is the babyface promo that everyone would expect him to cut. This is a few things that I love about it. He cuts the promo from the crowd, which I really like. He goes into the crowd. They show him walking out into the arena space, and he goes into the crowd, normally does his entrance by coming through them, and he talks, and he's cutting the babyface, the white meat babyface promo that Santana does. Crowd's chanting, "You got robbed." He says he's a fighter. He's a babyface, blah, blah, blah. TNA started adding fake crowd noise underneath, and I noticed it tonight. It was not good. That I don't need. Whoever's doing that for TNA, they tried to do the blanket sweetening sound, and sometimes you use it, but in a promo like that, it's okay to be a little quiet in the arena. They're hanging on every word, but for some reason, they felt the need to put a little bit of sweetener underneath, and you could tell it was fake, and I didn't like that part. But Santana goes on, talks about comforting his daughter when he lost, and that got him emotional. But as he walked into the ring, and he says it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, he's going to be TNA world champion. So that's the meat of this promo. This is all well and good. But better would have been Mike Santana winning the title at Slammiversary instead of trying to remanufacture something that you already had. Because you only have so much babyface fire in your promo to offer again and again and again before the crowd either turns or becomes apathetic. And I would argue that apathy would be much worse in this case. Santana coming out and cutting a promo like this, it's great acting. It's a great promo. But the crowd's already there. They don't need to be brought up higher. You brought them there. You took them down in the worst way possible at Slammiversary. So now it's up to TNA to try and rebuild a guy that already had the full-on babyface fire behind him. I find it so questionable that we're going to spend the next, 3 months going into October to, August, September, October. We're going to spend the next 3 months trying to do this again. For what? You could have done it. It's frustrating. But again, Santana he'll go out there and deliver, but after a while, he might run into the same problem Joe Hendry ran into.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was looking over my old TNA notes. Honestly, looking at the old reports, this is the exact same storyline you ran when Joe Hendry lost the title. This is the exact same storyline you ran when he didn't win the title against Nick Nemeth. See, here's the thing about heating up your old nachos. At least try to add some extra sauce, some fresh onions, maybe dice some new jalapenos. Like you said, the crowd's already there. We want that payoff. Most people wanted Santana to win, and clearly you don't have a problem with your TNA champion being pinned. You don't. So he could have lost. Doing the whole buildup again, I think, is what happened with Joe, what's cooled him off. These guys are fantastic wrestlers. Give them the fantastic wrestling that they deserve and need. I worry in this situation, just in my nerdy expert, non-expert wrestling analysis, that we've seen this before. And even if you don't watch TNA, I know a lot of people were very sports invested in Joe Hendry. And this is the third time I'm seeing this storyline, but this is the first time I'm seeing it with somebody else. What are, like, not low key, very high key. There's a better way to get the belt either on Ali. You could have just put it on Santana. I'm sports concerned, but I think I'm right where you said. I'm sports apathetic. I'm at the point where, hey, you know, it's TNA. They're going to TNA, and I don't want to feel that way, considering how I normally feel about TNA. But, you know.
I'm going to ask the TNA diehard fans to put away your trucker hats, your TNA trucker hats, and your TNA logo hats, and take that stuff off. We're fans like you are when it comes to this. This particular point of criticism around the world title scene, around Santana and everything, you don't need to fight back with, well, they're building a title picture and that's great, but they're not, because they're building apathy and they're building the same story they just did. And on top of that, the crowd is going to stay with them because they've been led on to stay with them. Now imagine they're not building to catharsis. They're not. They thought they were building into catharsis when they had Joe Hendry win the title. But at that point, it wasn't cathartic that he won. It was, oh God, finally. It was this or we're going to be gone. And you cannot play the audience in 2025 like this, because the audience is more plugged in. The audience is more invested in a different way than they are. It's not Mid-South in 1989. It's not. Those stories have a place, but they need to be modernized. You cannot tell the same stories over and over again, and you cannot have the same babyface fire going into every single show expecting it to build. It doesn't build that way. People don't pay attention for that long anymore. It's just the reality of it. And I'm not saying you need to switch a title every single month, though that is a TNA thing to do, at least one. But you can't have your world title picture become so obvious and give you in the palm of your hand the moment, and then snatch it away and be like, oh, it's good heat, because it's not. You just drove more fans away. You're keeping your hardcores. That's great. I'm so glad that you got your $200, you know, TNA Plus out of this. But imagine how much more you could have gotten if you had done the thing. Imagine how much bigger TNA, I'm not saying that it's going to be number two, like some people are saying. I'm not saying it's going to grow to be the biggest program ever, but imagine the goodwill you would scour with people if you just did the thing once in a while. And what you didn't do at Slammiversary took away more fan service than anything else.
I'll even go one step further, and I learned this from working with SP3 so much. I'm pretty much about to get a job over on True Hill Heat. I don't want to just give negativity without giving some positivity and say that there is a world where Santana not winning at Slammiversary could have worked. But that world involves Ali somehow weaseling his way, getting the title and having that run back, because Ali is still fantastic. Whether Cedric Alexander's in that picture or not, the chemistry between Mike Santana and Mustafa Ali, you really could have had something there. But the way that Trick won just seemed to undermine both these men, Joe and Santana, in the ring. And again, I go back to tonight, because you clearly don't have a problem with your champion being pinned. And if you're building something, at least be better. These were the same criticisms people had when you did it to Joe Hendry the first time, when you did it for Joe Hendry the second time. So why not take those criticisms and say, okay, if I'm still going to run the same playbook, I'm still going to throw the line down the middle. Let's, instead of having Trick Williams, have Santana, even Jake something, somebody who the crowd is already into. Not to say that the TNA WWE partnership doesn't work, but the way you're building it, it really makes TNA look like little brother.
That's a whole other can of worms. Sorry, I'm just checking on something. We're back. Okay. The Knockouts title picture. If you wanted disqualification finishes, boy, did I have the show for you. Knockouts title on the line. JC Jane versus Masha Slamovich ends in disqualification. Ash by Elegance, who is the only current challenger with the title shot, gets involved, wallops Masha with the KO title, with the Knockouts tag team title. The Elegances and Fatal Influence get into it, to which I say, man, Heather by Elegance is so damn short. Every time I look at her, she is so short. Look at her, so short. Anyway, Laying Lee and Zaya Brookside come to Masha's aid. Post-match later on, Santino approaches the Elegances. Ash says people want to see her. Masha runs in. They're separated by security. Ash makes faces, which is funny. I will never talk down to Ash by Elegance's comedy aspect and the way she can play. That's great. Then she says, I want my title match next week. I have my number one contendership spot. Santino says yes, and then the winner's going to face Masha after that. The Elegances are banned from ringside, and there's so much screaming and so much screeching. The match was fine, but again, a DQ finish. You saw it coming if you knew that Ash was, you know, number one contender, and she's telling everybody. So here we are. We're going to what I presume will be a three-way at an emergence between JC, Masha, and Ash by Elegance.
I was watching Collision. I turned to the left. The match started. Started watching Collision again. I turned to the right. Ash by Elegance was out there causing a DQ. This was sports malarkey. What did Masha do to deserve this? Masha, I don't have any write-ups on my desk for Masha. I don't have any, you know, disciplinary actions. You would swear Masha Slamovich was hometown man. Like, what did Masha do to deserve this? There has to be a better way to tell that story. Are we just going to put the title on Ash by Elegance? What? You know what? Maybe this just isn't for me. And that's how I felt about it. This is just not for me. I don't know what Masha did or what chicken bone or evil eye they have on her, but whoever did that, I'm coming for you, brother. Hulk Hogan, mean it. Eye jammy. So this was not for me. Even the screaming at the end, it wasn't for me. The consolation of the winner of that gets to fight Masha, this one's just not for me.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of the coolest things that they did was realize that Ash by Elegance is not the knockouts main event player that they wanted her to be when they brought her in. But then they quickly realized, oh, she's funny. Oh, she's entertaining. Oh, she could be the knockouts tag division, our number two knockouts position, and get it over. And she has. And that's the thing. I will not take away from Ash by Elegance with her work ethic, with what she brings to the ring. As the leader of the knockouts division, as the champion, it's not really my thing. I think that people like Masha Slamovich have said, you know, she said it earlier in a promo that she made the title something that everyone wants to see. And what did she say? She said she made the division violent and the title important to real fighters. And I think that's what's important when you're trying to build your knockouts division. But you need comedy. So true. Ash by Elegance works, and the Elegance is his work. This is her being a troll. That's as good as it should get. Shouldn't be the champ, but she should get into the title picture once in a while.
It does make sense, considering JC Jane is with the Stoogets and Ash by Elegance is full of Stoogets. This is a Stooge fight, and honestly, that's the only thing I can say is the saving grace about it, because you're right, Ash is really funny. I remember when she had the Thanos gauntlet. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and when she wasn't serious, that was the best stuff.
So I'm like, however you make this work, because poor Masha going out there alone, and yeah, they waited so long. I also, Zaya Brookside and Ye Ling, why did y'all take forever to? I had so many questions about this segment. I was sports confused.
Oh, you'll get to a three-way six-woman tag eventually. You will. Ten Rizzo sent a super chat saying TNA is infested by WWE and NXT is the destination. Listen, I told y'all from the get-go, the idea here was NXT gets to send some of their lower card people down for a view. They get to work TNA, which is similar to a WWE production style, a WWE presentation, before even WWE got involved. They were already, TNA was already very WWE washed in some ways. And then on the other hand, TNA, you know, or WWE, I should say, gets a free look at certain talent that they have their eyes on. They get to use them for a free, or at least a very modicum of money, a small amount, and then they either sign them or don't. Someone called TNA NXT Dark, and that has resonated with me.
I mean, the way they're treating it, I hate that. I truly hate that for TNA, and low key, I hate that for NXT. I feel like it puts a kind of, I guess, on them. And I don't like that. I don't like that for anyone involved. There's a better way to book this. I'm not critiquing the partnership. I'm critiquing the booking.
Moving on, there's a couple of things that came out of the injury report. Gia Miller's cleared, so I guess you can expect Tessa back by emergence. Have fun with that. Casey Navarro is out. He's not cleared. He's out later on. You see that as he's being told by the medical that he's going to need crutches and that he's got his knee taped up again. I think that's also a real life thing, but we'll get to that a little later. The Mara Sade promo was really good. I don't want to go too deep into this, but I thought it was a great way to introduce her to a crowd. It's a great way to give her background, her story, and also put over the knockouts history. As good as it was, it felt a little similar to the Indy Hartwell introduction video, but different because Mara Sade is not Indy Hartwell. But I like that they're putting some stock behind Mara Sade.
I will say all of the videos kind of do that. All their intro packets do have a theme. So yes, I will say it was very similar to Indy Hartwell's, but in that same vein, Santana's and Macklin's were very similar. You know what I mean? Like when they have a heartfelt meme or introduction theme, not meme, they kind of stick with that. I'm not mad at it, but I do see what you're saying.
Ali comes out with Order 4, says he's going to go to war with his team. He introduces his personal weapon of mass destruction, the head of Secret Service, Agent Zero. I know him as Big Bill Collier. Shout out to Big Bill. Love that guy. He says he wants to be the world champion, does Mustafa Ali. And then he blames Joe Hendry. Say his name, he appears. Hey, Cresta, which one between Mustafa Ali and Joe Hendry do you think is sticking around in TNA in the next, 6 months?
I don't want to have this conversation with you when you speak to me in such a condescending tone, because we both know the answer to this, Mr. Pearl.
Joe Hendry shows embarrassing footage of the Great Hands. a montage of John Skyler as a brawling buddy, eating pizza, buying a Joe Hendry shirt, and using an Ali shirt as a piece of toilet paper. Sure. Ali wants him to say his name and have him disappear, which, you know, he might actually do that in the next 3 months. Hendry challenges Ali. Ali says no, but we'll do it next week so that people can prepare to have something to truly believe in. Order four. They said you're going to need to order four pairs of earplugs because the world will be chanting, "We believe." That's the promo. Joe Hendry showed up in a bunch of backstagers, or not backstagers. The head turn thing. They did that on NXT a handful of times on Tuesday. Here we are.
Let me preface and say that I don't care. I will stand Joe Hendry. I don't care. I will stand Joe Hendry. This was bad. I'm so sorry. And let me tell you why I feel that way. let me tell you why I feel that way, right? Right. So the biggest critique of Joe Hendry is that we want him to be serious. We finally get him doing something serious and he's back with brawl buddies. Why don't you like Joe Hendry? What did he do to you? Like, you guys could have a seat. In fact, you had a really great opportunity to bring up the fact that Ali was supposed to do this hacker gimmick and it never happened when you said you had all these cameras. You had the opportunity to do something really actually funny. I would have rather you sang. Listen, I like Joe Hendry. So if anyone asks me after this show, Cressa, how'd you feel? This is the greatest segment of all time. But this was not good. I don't know. I know what's happening. You're leaving. And we're letting people know you're leaving. So come on, TNA.
He's going to lose next week. Anyway, Sami Callihan interview. He's basically saying, I'm disgusted with myself. Maybe Moose was right and Sammy's fallen. He talks about having body image issues and that he used to be a larger man. He was overweight. He battled eating disorders. Thank you so much.
Gotcha.
Thank you very much. Talks about his body image issues. And then he says, you know, I work backstage. I got a great job. Maybe I'm ready to pull away from being in front of the camera. And he effectively says, you know, there's a guy who calls himself the face of TNA, and that's Santana. And so he wants to do a retirement match at Emergence against Santana. So Sami Callihan, Santana in a match, which, Cresta, correct me if I'm wrong, Hometown Man did this already, and I feel like we've been there. Like, it was the delivery was fine. The outcome of getting to Santana and Callihan is kind of like, why Santana? I get that they're like their pals, and I get that he wants to go against the top dog, but why do you need to retire if he can't? I get it. He's 5 years since he's been the champion. He's had a lot of problems. It's strange. He didn't want to climb a ladder. He just wants to go to the top and see what happens.
I mean, sometimes I feel like a lot of wrestlers, especially people who are former champions, sorry, this white cat's really going into business for herself.
Oh, yeah.
I do think that some champions, once they've won a bunch of times, Sammy, Moose, even Eddie Edwards, feel like, I should be in the title. Kazarian, I should be in the title scene. I should be. And sometimes their worth becomes to be.
Take three.
Sometimes people like that, their worth is tied to their championships. I literally had a stroke. I'm so sorry.
It's very impressive.
So I'm not necessarily upset with it, but are we going to have another Hometown Man situation? And I don't necessarily think Sami Callihan needs to retire. I think that there is a certain niche of spooky deathmatch, whatever, like TNA does really well. And he's one of those people who are a staple. And outside of him right now, I can't think of, like, I know Moose can do. I've seen Moose do a monster's ball. I've seen Eddie. I've seen almost everyone do a monster's ball. But I think the spooky character is slowly beginning to die in TNA, or that deathmatch hardcore character is slowly beginning to die. And I don't like that. You know, besides him, Rosemary, who also, not to say you should bleed like a pig, but.
you're forgetting the spookiest one of all. Ooh. The ghost.
Eric Young. I don't see Eric Young as a deathmatch. Eric Young is the, he could do anything. He could do anything.
That's why. And that's why he's the guy who should take out Sami Callihan.
Make him join Violent by Design.
Well, I mean, you got to reform Violent by Design. Anyway, it's just the Sami Callihan stuff. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but we also just did this. So it feels a little, rehashed a little too soon.
Heating up our old nachos all over the place. Hell yeah, yeah, brother.
Main event, because I know people want to get to Collision, myself included. Moose and Edward Edwards defeat Trick Williams and AJ Francis, a conduit through which we can get to Moose versus Trick at Emergence for the TNA World title. I'm fine with that, by the way. Moose may have lost the X Division championship, but he lost in a great match, turned face in the process, and pinned the champion tonight. So for its plus special in a week, like, you can get away with this. I guess it's 2 weeks away. Moose and AJ Francis have good big man chemistry in the ring. This all comes down to Trick being a POS heel. Moose gets the crowd behind him. Casey Navarro hits Trick Williams accidentally with his crutch, and that allows Moose to hit a spear and a win. Moose is going for the title, and I'm sure the match will be fun, and I don't expect much else. And go.
So we can have Trick Williams pinned by Moose, but we can't have Trick Williams lose to Mike Santana.
You gotta take him for a ride, pal. Stories.
I don't want to be on this ride. Let it be known that had I not gotten paid to cover this show, I might have taken a very long sabbatical. This is not a ride I want to be on. I don't blame Casey Navarro. The doctor said I'm injured and y'all tried to jump me back with my broken knee. I don't blame him. He told you I shouldn't be out here. And what y'all do, y'all told me to cobble my crutch butt out there. And I did. AJ Francis is right there. Respect AJ Francis, but he's your jobber to the stars, bro. He's not losing to Ryan Nemeth, but you're not winning against a Macklin. Like, what are we doing? Well, like, you literally got your jobber to the stars there. So you don't mind your TNA champion getting pinned. But it depends on the guy, especially not to the guy next up. Building to apathy. That's TNA. Total nonstop apathy, baby. Like, I don't know, man. I was very sports confused by this. Because at this point, you're saying that Trick can't lose. So why is Trick eating the pin here? You still could have got Moose versus Trick and say, well, I pinned AJ. Well, AJ's not me. Okay, then prove it. But that's not what you did. Get your money, Moose. But a total nonstop apathy. I was very sports. I don't care.
Total nonstop apathy, she says.
No, that's serious. When you said this is building to apathy, that's the best way to describe it. Total nonstop apathy. How much can I make you not care before I tell you, hey, you're a bad person for not caring? Because you're speed running that any percent, bro. Like, I don't know, man.
Good Lord. Meat Normus, I buy my meat at discount sometimes. Just putting that out there. I see you in the chat. I just don't get it. I just know when it looks bad. Okay. The rest of the time I'm buying it that morning because I'm going to make it that night. You know, I got burgers to make tomorrow. So we're good. It's okay. Shut up, Meat Normus.
Honestly, people say he's my COO because he has the meats and I'm always chanting meat. So maybe he's the supplier.
True. Let's get into AEW Collision. That was TNA, by the way. We got through it. Like I said, Emergence is in a couple of weeks. We will not be doing a post show. I will be in Ottawa. I'm actually going to be at C4's Fighting Back event. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but it is an event that is in support of cancer research. It is a benefit show that C4 does every year. They've been doing it for the last, God, maybe 15 years, maybe 10 years. I'm behind. I'm tired. Regardless, this is a show that I will be there. I'll be covering. And I hope that you guys, if you can, will support it, whether you're just retweeting the cause or maybe you're able to financially support the show. C4 Wrestling, it's called Fighting Back. I believe they have a Twitter. It's like Fighting Back 613. Check that out. Evil Uno is going to be doing some stuff with that as well because he was one of the original people putting that show together. And I see that the chat's already lit up. So here we are.
Sicko mode. My question is, like, why do... Listen, I only peddle some malarkey. Blake Christian does not look like Joel. Blake Christian looks like...
Who Rick. Said I look like that?
This is the third or fourth time. It's like, yeah, Vanilla Baby going to go cover the scene. Like, no, that's Ricochito.
Yeah,
this is Joel.
I'm neither. And Rick is not either.
Nah. Rick is Blake Christian,
picking,
pal.
Stop picking random white dudes and saying they look... like you look like Ethan Hawke. What are you doing?
Okay, hold on. But are you or are you not Scott?
White? Yes. No, that's more like... Yeah, you got... Yeah, that's the one. Everyone gets me for Joe Gacy.
Okay, but that's fair. But you do not look like... Blake Christian. And I mean, Rick doesn't kind of look like Blake Christian, but I, you know, sometimes I want to get on the internet and lie. Fun lies, not lies that harm actual people. Fun lies.
You white new Ben Affleck. I get it.
I didn't say that.
Have you never seen that movie?
What movie is that?
Oh my God. Role Models.
Oh no, I haven't seen Role Models.
Oh, you got to watch that movie. It's one of the best.
Is that with Will Ferrell?
No, no. It's Sean Williams. Sean Williams Scott and Paul Rudd.
And then the
guy who plays McLovin, and I forget the kid's name. There's another kid in there. He's the star of the show. I forget his name though.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That's not me. I apologize.
By the way, we've been reviewing TNA longer than Collision's been around.
That's true. Okay. Respect on TNA, y'all. Okay.
Yes, Bobby J. Thompson. That's the name of the kid in Role Models. You got to see the movie. Fantastic. Paul Rudd rules. Volves in super chat saying Joel looks like Vanilla Fumble. Screw you. That's but crazy. Also, I love you. Thank you.
That's crazy.
No, shout out to Volov. He donates to our In the Weeds chat all the time. In the Weeds, by the way, over on Fightful Overbooked every day, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern. I'm back tomorrow with Jeremy Lambert. We got plenty to talk about, including this Collision. We open up with Wheeler Yuta yeeting security guards while Tony Schiavone and Nigel McGuinness hype up the card. The through line on tonight's show is Moxley calling out Darby Allin. Says, Darby, you came back. Told you to get gone and stay gone. I kicked you down the stairs. And then Darby shows up in the balcony. And then while Mox is addressing him, Darby just kind of walks away. And Mox is like, you motherfucker. That's how he starts. It's fantastic. And next thing you know, he goes off and he's in hot pursuit. This will play out through the entire night. Meet Norma sends a super chat saying, hello, my meaty queen COO Cresta, as you mentioned. And Joel, thank you. You're there. You're there too. I'm here. What will Darby and Mox throw each other off of, and how high will it be? This is clearly leading to a match between the two of them. It feels like they'll both do ridiculous shit to get there. I would like for it to be blood and guts, but I don't know anymore if that's on the card, because I originally thought they'd build to blood and guts for next week, but obviously not, because it's next week. What do you think? What are they going to throw each other off of, and how high will it be?
My initial joke was, much like that Money in the Bank match, I'm going to throw you off a roof to a shorter roof right underneath and we'll be fine. I don't know, because Darby kidnapped that man on national television. I saw so many murders tonight. I don't know if I was watching TNA or Collision. I seen someone get stabbed in the knee. I saw a man literally get chloroformed and then almost thrown off a balcony. Yo, what was in the altitude in Mount Everest? Because Darby's, he was a wild boy before, but only to himself. He's not mucking around no more. I don't know. They're going to kill each other, and I'm going to be sports disgusted compliment.
Hey, he said he was going to take everything from Mox, and that's literally everything. Mox and Darby on the catwalk was fantastic. Moxley is searching the catwalk with Yuta and Marina Shafir. Suddenly, they kind of take a turn, and they go into a closet-looking thing, and the door closes, and like you said, there's a big old rag over Moxley's face, and I assume it's chloroform. And I like that this was great production work, because they did the light play was really fun. They just drag him into the darkness. They don't go chasing. They're just like, oh shit, okay, he's gone. Really appreciate that they're taking advantage of the space that they've had for the last few weeks at the Aragon Ballroom. They're using the venue as a physical space. It's not just an arena they're using. I really appreciated that.
At this point, the only thing Darby is missing, I need Darby to do the Sting mask. Come to the front in the mask, you take it off, and it's Darby. Like Sting did. It's Sting. Honestly, at this point, I don't feel bad for Moxley or the Death Riders. I'm afraid of them. Marina Shafir posted a crazy workout video, and I'm afraid. I see why she's there. She's a gangster. I'm afraid. But I don't feel bad for you. You literally killed Bryan Danielson. They had to resurrect him so you could lose.
Finally. I don't feel bad. Finally, this all comes to a culmination with Darby and Mox when Moxley takes him out to the side. And I'm like, oh, daylight. Darby hasn't seen that in like months. I feel like, by the way, I'm almost positive that Darby was sleeping in the ballroom, like that he just kind of lived there for the weeks that AEW was there. He's just sleeping on the roof, or maybe he's just found a catwalk and just slept on that. Whatever. Either way, pulls him outside, drags Mox to the subway tracks, goes to throw him over, and then security comes chasing out and separates the two of you, and Darby's upset again. And he's like, I'm going to take everything from you, and Moxley is doing what he's doing. It's good. I like that these two need to be pulled apart. I like that Darby is so pissed off that he needs to get his pound of flesh.
I was sports entertained. I think that after bad guys winning for a very, very, very long time, and because I do cover TNA, just to see the bad guys turn face and all is forgiven, it's nice to see people finally get some comeuppance. A lot of heels, a lot of times, don't really be getting comeuppance. So I hate that Mox might actually pass away, but you know, you're like, wait.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. Choose oral medications, serums, and sprays. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. No hidden fees, no surprise costs. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Fightful. That's Hims.com/Fightful for your free online visit. Hims.com/Fightful. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We continue with the Tag Team Eliminator Challenge. It's such a long name, I have to freeze and my brain has to boot up what the name of this thing is. It is the AEW Tag Team Eliminator Challenge Tournament. No, not challenge. Eliminator Tournament for a shot at Forbidden Door. My God.
Open the door.
There's just so many doors. Brodino defeats GOA. Conning and Dino have fantastic chemistry. This match was really fun to watch. These two just beat the crap out of each other. Bandido spent most of the match getting beat up and then suddenly like flying out of nowhere. There's an awkward spot where one of them, I think it's Toa Leona, goes to hit the Tour of the Islands. And for some reason, Khan comes into the ring and he gets hit by the move. I don't know what they were trying to do, but it was just an awkward kind of attempt at something. Too many big dudes trying to do stuff. But they take it into the crowd for a minute. They do the avalanche powerbomb. And then the finish is very interesting. Bandido gets monkey flipped into a 360 splash by Brody King onto Khan for the win. And now Dynamite this Wednesday. It'll be the Young Bucks and Brodido in the semifinals. What do you think of this match? Because it was hella fun.
I got gout on this day. I love a big meaty match. And this was all the type. I had slender meat. I had Slim Jim. I had big beefy meat. I had tattoo meat. Everything was just fantastic. Those chest chops on Bandido, woof. Man, Gates of Agony literally looked like you'd be going through agony if you wrestled these guys. Like, holy hell. Those chest chops are nasty. I do like Brodido. That assisted monkey flip. I thought he assisted the 21 plex on him. I don't know what happened because it happened like this and he was dead. I honestly did think that the Gates of Agony were going to win here, considering new name Ribochet was out there with them. Ribochet and Mark Brisket. We can thank SP3 for that.
Ribochet and Mark Brisket. That's a enormous name. That's not an SP3 name. What is this garbage? What are you talking
it
about?
It happened on True Hill Heat. I was trying to say Mark Briscoe, but I said Mark Brisket. So now that's all I hear is Mark Brisket or Ribochet for the meat division that Tony said we were supposed to get. But here I am, vegan, meatless, vegetarian, ridiculous.
Shout out to our pal Iridian. Had an interview with Tony Khan this week. That did very well. So go check that out. We miss Iridian. She's having fun. Tenriz is saying shout out to Chicago and the ballroom. It was a great time. It was I would call this a successful A successful.
It was a good showing for both of them. You know, I don't think it's bad that Brodito got the win because Bandito is loved. Brody King can't pay to get a win. So I'm very happy that he's finally in the W column. And I think he's fantastic. And right now, I think Bishop Khan and Toa Leona with Ricochet, they've got something fantastic there. Whether they screw someone over later, or they just do the trio stuff, They'll be fine. They could take the loss here. I don't think it's more of a detriment to Brodito. You just got a name. Davi is free. We just gave you a sock.
A successful residency was what I was trying to say. I have been up since before 6 o'clock this morning trying to speak all day. So there we go. Thank you. A residency. Thank you. Don't say your R's. What'd you call him? Ribochet? My God.
Ribochet and what's... Mark Brisket.
What is wrong with you? Anyway, Lexi Nair is with Don Callis and Lance Archer. Don Callis says the family will have all the titles, the power, and the money. Shane Taylor says he wants his money from Don Callis. Lance steps up to Shane, and Don's like, hey, Skyflight's a problem. Go handle them, and then we can talk about money. You want to talk about this match real quick? Because it is a match that happened. It was set up on the show. It took place on the show. Skyflight did defeat Shane Taylor Promotions. Run me through it, because I missed it.
All right, let me turn over here. So... there was a big guillotine right at the beginning from Shane Taylor onto Dante Martin, and then we went to commercial. Most of this was in picture and pitcher. I will really say for most of this match, Shane Taylor Promotions was in control, mainly beating up Dante Martin. We rarely saw Darius, but it was Scorpio Sky who got the hot tag, and he pinned Sean Dean. The only other moment I really have for you in this match, because it was literally just that, they were beating up these guys until Scorpio Sky got the hot tag. Carly Bravo was doing chest slaps. And I'm like, man, this is how you lose a match. But also, I was sports entertained because slap. This match was fine. It was exactly what you thought it would be. And then afterwards, Don Callis was on commentary. So I'm like, well, we're not going to talk about money. But Shane Taylor, why would you accept another job if you didn't get paid for your last one?
Right? Makes you look dumb.
I watched enough Judge Judy that if you tried to take that to court, she said, uh-uh, you didn't get paid for the first one, so you had no reasonable expectation of payment for the second one. If anything, he threatened you with Lance Archer when you asked about your money. So you took on another job?
That little weak. That part felt a little strange. I do agree. Blanton Stogdill, that's a hell of a name, says, I want to say I popped for Shane Taylor using a Ghostbusters 2 reference and calling Don Callis Vigo the Carpathian. Damn it. I had it and then I lost it. Probably just me. No, it's not just you. I have seen Ghostbusters 2. I just can't speak tonight. Thank you, Blanton. Great super chat.
I thought I was the only one. Like, wow, you really dug in your bag for that. But if you look at Google pictures of Don Callis with hair, you do look like Vigo, bro.
1998. Like Vigo. Just go watch the Truth Commission. You got it. I did appreciate, by the way, throughout the night, they did show video packages from last night's Dynamite. It's a good way to buy in the fans and catch them up. And I really do. I want to shout that out because you don't always get that, not only with AEW, but you don't always get that on a Collision coming out of a hot Dynamite. So I do like that they were doing that throughout the night, especially for the bigger matches that they ran. I do. And by the way, chat, yes, I need a nap. I will get one, but I also still have stuff to do after this.
Same.
Lexi Nair is with the Paragon, and Kyle O'Reilly says conglomeration is a lifestyle, which I do agree with. Roddy points out how many times Adam Cole has been injured. That's really all I took from Roddy and his part of the promo, because he's like, I had my best friend, then I lost my best friend, then my best friend came back, and then I lost him again. And then I'm just like, Jesus Christ, stop talking about it. It's really upsetting. Kyle O'Reilly puts over the conglomeration as a team that supports each other, and then while the conglomeration are in there, Roddy's staring down Tomohiro Ishii, and Ishii's staring him right back down. And it's very interesting because I'm like, have they faced each other before? They have an AEW, and I believe, was it Ishii got the win? They're 1-1 all time in singles matches. They had one match in Ring of Honor in like 2016. They've done one in AEW on a Collision, but like they're 1-1. I want to see Roddy and Ishii tear it up one more time. That's all I got from this whole thing. Kyle's just playing all sides. That's just what he does.
I'm not going to hold you. I didn't even see this segment. I didn't even write this down. This must have been during the Ali promo because I really focused on that. Because after Lexi Nair backstage with Don Callis, I have the MJF Mark Briscoe recap. I.
Well, all right then. Nothing else.
Good job.
Couple of women's matches to throw at you as Chris Statlander defeats Lina Cross. Now, first of all, Tenryuza had mentioned Collision was great. It was beautiful, Lina Cross. Lina Cross has been, well, she appeared at the TNA tapings because we do both shows here right now. It's worth noting, Fightful Select, best $6 in the business. We had reported Lina Cross has been on TNA's radar for a while. Lina is stateside. She has been asking TNA talent, or had been asking them for advice, what to do and where to sign. And clearly she's still available because she worked tonight against Chris Statlander. Very quick match, Statlander with faceplant slam. And then she's using what is called the Hashinosu eight knots, which is actually a move that Suzumi uses in Tokyo Joshi Pro. So that is her new finish, or at least the one that she's trying to use for submission. Thought it's very effective. Shows off the best parts of Chris Statlander's biceps, as they were saying. So she got a quick tap on Lina Cross, and that was quick because it didn't matter because Willow came out next and kind of stepped on Chris Statlander's presentation and her victory. What do you think of not just the Statlander match, but also going into the Willow match against Thekla?
Honestly, even though it was a jobber entrance, Lina, for the first 30 seconds to a minute, maybe 2 minutes, she let Statlander have it. But that pin, that tap pin, I'm here for that submission. I think it does make Statlander look real good. It's kind of like when Naomi started using, Starstruck in TNA. It's really nice to see someone, especially someone known for power moves or a certain type of style, to use a submission. That being said, if I was Willow and my match was next, I'd step on your toes too. Last week you were being weird to Renee, which I haven't forgot. And then this week, and then the week it was last week you were being weird to Renee. And then yesterday you were all like, I don't care about you. I don't care about you. I don't care about you either. And instead of you coming to me and telling me you don't care about me and you want to fight, you're telling Renee, you're telling Stokely, you're telling everyone like it's my fault. So I know you're scared. So I'm going to do what I want. I would do the same thing if I was Willow. I know you ain't about nothing. And if anything, you're going to be mad this week and then you're going to turn face next week. I'm not afraid of you. Get out of here. Why don't you go figure your character out? How about that?
Thekla defeats Willow Nightingale. This was a lot of Willow. She hits that big pounce a few times and looks good. Eventually Julia Hart and Sky Blue, they distract Willow. She fights them off, but it doesn't matter. Spear, stomp, pin. And the post-match is where all this matters. They beat down Willow some more, do the triangle of madness. They beat down the trapezoid of Grapezoid. Hell of a name to have. And then Megan Bain and Penelope Ford join the beatdown, and then Queen Aminata makes the save along with Ty J and the conglomeration check on Willow as well. We got a couple of super chats talking about the potential of where this could go. Meet Norma saying women's blood and guts will feed nations.
True.
Which I do agree with. And there was another one that I think either missed or is gone, or, oh, here we go. Yeah. Tim McFall sent a super chat saying this, well, the first part is the sexiest man of pro wrestling is a champ. We'll get to the main event, and they may be building to a women's blood and guts. This was the greatest collision ever. Fleshlights forever. We'll talk about the main
what a event. Name.
You are the number one fleshlight. But yes, do you think that this is building to the potential of a women's blood and guts, or is there something else you have in mind? Also, thoughts on Thekla beating Willow Nightingale?
You know, for these sets of ladies, maybe not blood and guts right now, definitely an anarchy in an arena, because I could see a blood and guts being the third or the last time they meet. Off the strength of only that, I would, if I'm booking this, and I'm not, so let me be clear, but off the strength of, I just put together Death Triangle, oh my God. What are they called?
The Triangle of Madness.
Triangle of Madness. You just put them together. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford have been super over right now as your fun. Gotcha, pal.
I'm doing my bit that I stole from Booker T.
So, like, you got these guys, and like, yeah, sure. An anarchy in your arena will allow Triangle of Madness to do their spooky stuff. Megan Bain to really yeet one of those girls, probably Ty J, sorry, sister, off of something, and it'll be fun. But then Queen Aminata, Thekla, and them can do their hardcore spots, but it'll get to a point where it's like, well, you guys did all this shenanigans. I think a blood and guts is where it's going to be at. Maybe some more combinations of tag match, but I do think an Anarchy Arena should be first, and then a blood and guts, because I think blood and guts will blow it off too fast, and I do like all these women working together.
I'm going to keep my expectations low. I just think you're going to see an all-star 12-woman tag match on a Collision.
At that point, then just put the cage down. Just make it a blood and guts. Then just call it a day.
Look, man, I hope I'm wrong, but they're not planning. Or at least, I shouldn't say they're not planning. There haven't been any inklings that there could be a blood and guts match on the horizon, because the places that they're currently going to work cannot put the cage up. Right. The reason why I was aiming for the next show on Dynamite was because they're actually back in an arena that could potentially hold a cage. But after that, they're going to the Andrew J. Brady center again in Cleveland. So like, there isn't many places, unless they're going to do it abroad. Are they going to do it maybe like where they're doing it in the UK? They're going to do it at where is it, in Glasgow?
Aren't they doing the O2 Arena, or was that
too? That's Forbidden Door, but they're going to be in Glasgow at the OVO Arena for Dynamite and Collision. So unless they're going to set up a cage there, they're in Roanoke, Virginia next Saturday. I don't think that the Berglund Center can do it. The Wolstein Center, it's too soon. Cincinnati, they're doing the Andrew J. Brady Center for Collision and for Dynamite. Then they go to Glasgow. Then they come back and they do the Philly residency. Can't do that. You can't do it at 2300 Arena. So after that, you have what, Toronto, London, Ontario? Listen, I would love London to suddenly, because I'm going to that show. London, Ontario, getting a blood and guts would be great. But I don't think they're going to be doing it at All Out, because then you got to shift the arena as well, which is easy enough because it's a 20,000 seat arena that they're going to do well with the sales. They have already, but I feel like they want to fill the seats rather than have to take away some to do a two ring show on a pay-per-view. That's the other thing. There is a logistics involved. Having a two ring show for a pay-per-view, that's not fun. WWE, you know, they do it with War Games every year, and it's like they got to do separate shooting for both rings. It's a whole production. So I don't know when they'll do it. I don't think they'll do it all out.
But then I could also see them, if you do it at All Out or Forbidden Door in London, you could definitely do an Anarchy in the Arena and overplay a song. I don't know what song you'd overplay, but overplay the Spice Girls at the beginning and then have the women kill each other for the memes, for the memes, for the memes, for the memes, for the memes.
We'll see. Like I said, I'm keeping my expectations low because they haven't, they're not going anywhere that can hold a cage. Anarchy in the Arena or some sort of street fight. Sure, I get it. But putting up a giant cage, the next time you can do it is either London or Glasgow when they go abroad, or London, Ontario before. And that's going into All Out. So that's kind of a, do you want to do that? So I don't know. People are saying, you know, do it in Toronto. Listen, I'll be there. I'll be in London. I'll be in Toronto for All Out. I live in Toronto. I'll be there. Don't expect it. But I'd love to be proven wrong. I just don't see anything on their pipeline that shows that they could do a cage match of any kind.
Yeah, that's why I was like, based off the information you said, to me, the next best thing would be an Anarchy in the Arena. Somebody said in the chat, two Anarchy in the Arenas would be spoiling us. Yeah, but the last one was kind of jokes because they played Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. And Kenny hit the Jey Uso.
Right back.
Play that back.
Orion Ben saying, I want a Brody's Daughter match, Willow versus Julia. You'll probably
brother.
You will probably get it, because they're going to keep running that incarnation of people. And it's fine. Again, you make sense of the feud by having different members of different sides of the story interact. So Willow and Julia makes sense. I'd love to see it personally, so why not? Shadow C saying, Queen Aminata made me want some cake tonight. Good for you. Good, back to horny jail for y'all. And then Misfit Wrestling Podcast saying, MLW did War Games in the Coliseum in St. Petersburg, Florida, that holds only 800 people. Well, the difference between MLW and AEW is that AEW is going to have a bigger production to do this. MLW, when they're setting up their cage, they are setting up their cage. It's not as rickety. It's a different presentation. That's not a shot at MLW. It's just they have different ways of putting their stuff together. And AEW's is like, they got to set it and forget it when it comes to the cage. They can't go to an extended break, set up a cage, bring out the panels and secure it with whatever. They need to have it set up, and it's a different process.
Yeah. Also, logistics is always going to play a bigger favor. It may Sorry, I almost hit myself with the Cody dude. It doesn't matter what we want. It matters what production can do. So and that's the voice of the people is production. Production is the people.
We'll see what where it goes. Lexi Nader's with Billy Gunn. Anthony Bowens interrupts and says he busted his slump. Slump's been busted. But you weren't there. You were too busy getting in my way. He says, Billy, you weren't there for me. And Billy's like, I'm going home. And I was like, yeah! Brother, I've been waiting for this moment.
That's crazy.
I don't need 63-year-old Billy Gunn on TV getting himself over week to week. I'm sorry. I just don't. I just let it go. Let it go. Like Frozen. Like Anna and Elsa, just let it go. Just let it go. It's done.
Anthony Bowens had the opportunity to say the funniest line to Daddy Ass when he said, I'm going home. He's like, walk away. Yeah, walk away. Now I see why your sons didn't want you around. You could have said that. You could have said that. But instead you let, I mean, Anthony Bowens, corporate Cresta here stepping in before I say something really out of pocket.
Thank you.
Anthony Bowens wasn't wrong. Not at all. You told me that I was in a slump. You were going to be there for me. So I do the job that you told me to do, which is beat up this guy who, by the way, a little insulting, Max Cassel, who's been losing for 8 weeks straight. But OK, I've been losing too. And then you throw me off. I'm the problem. You said beat him up. I beat him up. And now I beat him up too much. Too much hell in a cell. I don't think Anthony Bowens wasn't wrong. However, I will say, I don't know about that double face turn because afterwards, nobody was cheering for Max or Bowens. So I don't know what's happening here. I hate this for both of them. I do.
Krista, are you implying that it is apathy elite wrestling in this case?
You know, it seems to be going around. Everyone is very unserious at this time, and some of us are smarter than others. Kyle O'Reilly, for example. Why would I come to work and wrestle when I could just...
I feel like Max is still getting a reaction. That's the thing. They're trying to do something with Bowens. It's just, it's not working. And I don't think turning him heel is the answer because you have such an opportunity with Anthony Bowens as a character. You can do so many things with him, but now it's like they're in this corner and Billy was never the answer. It should have just, there should have been something different. Billy going home is like, it makes me cheer because someone in the chat mentioned like the match against Switchblade from a couple of years ago. I reviewed that match on this channel. I never do AEW reviews unless I'm asked to do them like tonight or whatever. So that night I was filling in for Sean with Alex Pulowski and we both agreed like, what are we doing here with Billy Gunn? Why is 60-year-old Billy Gunn needing to go 50-50 with Jay White and still end it? Was it a DQ or did I forget what it was, but like, it was not what it was supposed to be. You can move on from Billy Gunn in 2025. We're ready to move. So let's move on from Billy Gunn with Anthony Bowens and see where it goes.
I think the biggest problem here when it comes to the whole acclaimed Anthony Bowens Max Caster is that they had a joke, much like Joe Hendry. You had something really funny, and when you should have pushed the trigger, you didn't. And then when you did pull the trigger, people were like, okay, I guess it works now. And then you didn't really do anything with them. So then when they broke up, yeah, that was the next natural progression. Sure, refresh the characters. But, you know, even bum-ass Baron Corbin took a couple of weeks to get over. And Max Caster, arguably the more annoying of the two, is in a better place than the guy who's more athletic. And then you guys can't, I don't know. I don't want to blame creative. I don't want to blame the wrestler. So I don't know who to blame. So I'm going to say I don't watch wrestling. And I think it's just, I don't know. That's my answer for you is I don't know. I do know, but community guidelines prevent me from being honest here.
Swerve versus Okada is announced for Forbidden Door. Don Callis wearing those belts is a weird and wild sight, and I love to see it. He calls Swerve classless. He says he's taking advice from a glorified coffee salesman, backup dancer, piece of degenerate garbage. And then Okada says, let's just fight. This is good stuff.
This is good. But Don Callis, watch your mouth about Prince Nana. I've been doing a lot of research and Prince Nana fought low key. So you better watch your mouth before he beats you up. I'm just saying. You better watch your mouth.
We'll get to so the other stuff. But Athena also had a promo and basically said, you know, Tony took the O face last night. She went down and she's calling her shot for Forbidden Door. So Athena versus Tony Storm for the AEW Women's World Championship is going to happen in London. Misfits Pro Wrestling or Misfits Wrestling Podcast said Okada versus Swerve, Tony versus Athena, and the Hurt Syndicate versus the AEW Tag Tournament winner. What a crossover show. I get it. This is the problem with the G1 ending literally the week after Forbidden, or the week before Forbidden Door. you have no plans because you can't make those plans unless you're using people who are not in the G1, but the G1 is a star-studded affair. Unless you're going to start mathematically, mathematically disqualifying people from the G1. I've been saying this on In the Weeds. I wouldn't be surprised if they do Hangman versus Tanahashi. And because it's like Tanahashi's contractually obligated final match, at Forbidden Door, and it's going to be an AEW world title match, and it's a big respect for Tanahashi, you could easily just do that. I would rather Tanahashi be in like a conglomeration 12-man tag, but that's just me, because that's the last time we saw Tanahashi show up on AEW television was to save, to make the save with conglomeration. But here we are. I don't know what to expect, but it sucks that the G1 gets in the way of the Forbidden Door and Forbidden Door gets in the way of the G1. They got to figure out how to tell the story better and not have the G1 in the same time as Forbidden Door. Move one of them, and it's probably going to be AEW.
I'll be honest with you. AEW has too many pay-per-views right after All In, All Out, Forbidden Door. There's like four or five of them in like, it feels like there's four or five of them in a 3-month span for two weekends for that whole time. Like there's two beats going between a pay-per-view, two beats going between a pay-per-view. I do think we could spread out all
TNA. They got to spread out. Hold on. Forbidden Door is a month away. It's August 25th. You have the time. So, and the last pay-per-view was July the 12th. So they have the time.
I feel like that was last weekend.
No. July 12th was that show. And Forbidden Door, WWE is doing shows every 2 weeks, a big show every 2 weeks. AEW has been a little more solid with the way they've been booking the pay-per-views, in my opinion, which is something that they didn't do last year. And they were using the big shows that they were promoting, not Paul White, the bigger shows they were promoting, they were trying to make those bigger to build to a match rather than using the shows to mm-hmm. build to the pay-per-views. And as a result, stuff got lost in the shuffle because you were doing Grand Slam this, fifth anniversary that.
Yeah.
And things were just getting messy. This year, I think they spent most of their time having special events, but using those events as a stepping stone to build to All In Texas in this raid. Now they're using the residency to build out of All In Texas to get you to Forbidden Door. But again, you have New Japan in the middle of the G1, so you don't know what to expect. So they have to tell whatever stories they can, given the time that they have. That's it.
Japan their only partner, though? Aren't they like doing something with AAA or CMLL or one of the two?
They work with CMLL. AAA is now owned by WWE. Mm-hmm. But with CMLL, yeah, they'll be involved. It's inevitable. I just think that that's... Compared to New Japan, people are more tapped in with New Japan Pro Wrestling stars than they are with CMLL right now. There are certain crossovers that have come over and done well. Some of them are now working on dual contracts. But with that in mind, you either have to start building those or you have to start working on the New Japan contingency plan. Because coming out of the G1, people will be beat up. You just don't know who's going to be available by then.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, when I think about Forbidden Door, sometimes I wouldn't mind them not doing, like, storyline matches. I would kind of want it to be dream matches, and that's okay, too. I hear this cat going into business for herself. I'm not happy.
FTR defeat Juice Robinson and Austin Gunn. Card Blade and Card Colton are here. Best wishes to those guys. Hopefully they're back soon and they're feeling good. Austin had the roll up trying to get the tights, but Cash hits Austin and Dax rolls up a Austin for the win. FTR advanced to the finals. I don't know if Dusty Rhodes over here has anything to say as she's trying to put the cat away.
Yeah, the cat is farther than I can go without these headphones. And you know, if people ever tell you that animals are less stress-free than kids, at least children can tell you what's wrong. I know this cat is gonna get sick. Did you know that cats can become anemic from garlic and onion? I didn't, but my cat does now. All right, anyway. about that match with FTR and the Gun Club, shout outs to the cutouts being back. This match was good. I'm sorry, Dax Harwood. I hate FTR because they're heels right now, but I love FTR because they're heels. They're bastards. They're so good. They're so good. FTR.
What did you do?
I know exactly what fell. I'm so sorry, BRB.
That's amazing. Are you GTFO for a minute? Matthew Hooks sent a super chat saying Forbidden Door, Michael Oku versus Nigel McGuinness, Ospreay versus Kidd or Zack Sabre Jr. Gabe Kidd is kind of the toss-up right now because he's out of the G1. He's injured. He hyperextended his knee, so we don't know when we're going to see him again. Hopefully soon. The New Japan, the IWGP title is the other one. That's the other title that I'm wondering where they're going to place it. It could be Will Ospreay's match. And Ospreay is expected back, or he wants to be back by Forbidden Door. So we're going to find out what that looks like. But Michael Oku versus Nigel McGuinness, sure, that's a fun special match for the UK crowd. They'll get into it. They'll love it.
Oh, yeah.
You got to play some of the UK fans into something. So there's definitely, there's reason to do it. I just don't know what they're going to expect or what they're expecting to have.
Bring Jamie Hayter out.
I mean, if she's okay, that's the question, is when she's cleared, how are you going to merge her into traffic?
My cat is jobbing me, brother.
Oh, nobody jobbed in this match. Roosh versus Masked Caster. This was two men playing with each other's food while being aggressive assholes. Those are the notes that I have.
The best part of this match is Masked Caster like, yeah, you know what? Stop fighting this guy. And he's like, you're going to fight me, though.
Hilarious. Roosh can't count to a 5-minute clock. It expires. He still thinks the match is going on because Roosh just doesn't know. Roosh just can't tell time. He knocks out Max anyway. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. Can they just call it the horns? Have they shortened it yet?
I don't know.
This double knees thing? They should. LFI beats down Max Caster, and then Jetspeed and AR Fox make the save. And then while the referees are checking on him, Max lifts his fist while he's playing dead in the ring. So this was fun. It's inoffensive. Roosh is doing stuff on the show, and Max Caster is getting over with the crowd despite being a bad guy.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I didn't know how this match ended. All I saw was LFI beating them up.
That was basically the end of the match. The clock hit zero, and then they just kind of did the beatdown finishes.
And I don't understand. Why did you know what? Sure.
No, that's basically what you expected to say. Misfits Wrestling Podcast adding Stardom's 5-star Grand Prix ends the day before Forbidden Door, so you might as well forget Stardom's involvement. Yeah, that's the other side of it, is if you want to do Stardom, you can't do much. Who knows? Well, we'll see what they build to. They are building to the return of Mercedes Moné next week. 8-belt Moné will return on Dynamite. Looking forward to that. But now it's time. What, you want to add something? You got something else?
Nah, that's it. I'm ready to see the CEO. That's it.
Main event time then. TNT title, Chicago Street Fight. Kyle Fletcher wins the TNT title, defeats the natural Dustin Rhodes, who comes out to his WCW natural theme, and he's the smart one, Cresta. It's a street fight. Why aren't you wearing jeans, Proto Star?
No one tells Seto Kaiba what to do.
There are pink jeans you can purchase and wear. Why aren't you wearing the jeans? My God, Dustin Rhodes was the smart one here. Blood, tacks, tables. Fletcher wearing his tights, getting a dick full of thumbtack tight kicks.
Rightfully so, you sick fuck chance, because that's GCW.
Who does that?
To be fair, Kyle Fletcher tried to kill him twice. I would. He's the Proto Star is a wild boy. He comes out there with a crop top leather duster. He doesn't care about anyone in bubblegum Pepto-Bismol pink and will slap you if you say anything. Not only will he slap you, he'll beat you up and then look like Spike from Toy Story. You got it, pal. I would do the same thing, because at the beginning, this was elder abuse. He was beating up. That old man was bleeding within 30 seconds of this.
That's normal. You know that's normal. That was Dustin was like, I'm going to bleed. And TK's like, go ahead, I guess. And Dustin's like, keep stepping. And then they just kept bleeding. Keep bleeding.
You can't keep stepping if there is a literal screw in your knee. Now, before someone says, well, there is no blood coming out, shut up. Do you want this person to actually get impaled?
Well, I do.
I do.
If you're going to call it, first of all, no, because it's on commentary to say this. You see the blood, you know, gushing out of the wound. They were really overplaying it when it's like, I see no blood. That part's a little like commentary's got to reel it back. If they don't see it, you don't call it. That's the way it should be. I keep wanting to call him old Taint Tax because he just got kicked in the taint and those tax went inside.
Taint Tax is insane.
You can think of a better way. I'd like to hear. Knee with the screwdriver bit, it was good. It was impactful. It made sense. But like I said, when the commentary is, you know, yelling about how much blood is coming from the wound, but there's actually no blood visible, that's when you need to pull it back. Pull it back. You don't need to add it. Just say, oh my God, he's brutalizing him with a screwdriver. And that's it. It becomes hokey at that point. Too cute by half, as they say. They do a good roll-up close call finish with Dustin almost getting the victory, but then Fletcher gets that brain buster on the tax for the win. And then after the match, they do the chair and the post to the knee. Fletcher gets a little bit more offense on Dustin Rhodes, beats him down, and Kyle Fletcher dominantly wins the TNT title, something that was expected, which is great. Coming out of All in Texas, it was kind of like, how long does Dustin Rhodes need this? Felt like he could do it for the residency. I thought maybe Dustin should have done one more title defense other than Lee Moriarty, just so that he can have the two and then lose it to Kyle Fletcher. But at the end of the day, right choice was made. Kyle Fletcher is your new TNT champion.
I mean, I was sports surprised when he was the TNT champion, when he wasn't the TNT champion going out of that match. Very happy for Dustin. I do agree that maybe his reign could have been longer. Because when you do it so short, it's kind of like, so why didn't Kyle win? But I digress. Yo, I can't take anything away from this crazy old man. Coming out to your original 1920s music was fantastic. And commentary brought it up. I was like, where is this music from? Mystico, the impact you've had. Dustin got dead. There's no other way to put that. Dustin got ran over by the protostar. I wish... There has to be another name besides Fletchlights. There's got to be this. You guys are nasty. There's got to be, pal. But like, nah, this was the right call. Don Callis is a good manager, one of the best managers of the year. I don't care. He has his people on TV every week. And he already said that he's going to get that. And true to his word, he kept it. I will say I felt a little bit bad for Dustin Rhodes crawling to the rope. And the ref is like, what are you doing? Yeah, no rope break. Get out of here. What are you doing? So this is elder abuse. This was elder abuse, but not like free elder abuse. That old man still had some fight in it, but at the end of the day, this was elder abuse. Dustin Rhodes, I hope you get better soon. But Protostar said, I had it with you, American guy. Beat it. Australia was, I don't know. Australia, I don't know what the Australia people do to rally themselves. There you go.
I once watched Scott Steiner do it with a bunch of Australians in WCW. And he was getting a baby face chant going. And all of a sudden he says, I know you guys, I'm not doing it. It's too late to do a Scott Steiner thing. He basically says, you know, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Okay. But the way I hear it is asshole, asshole, asshole. And he got booze rained down on him. And that's the best. I need that. Braun Breaker. Go ahead. Go down under. Get it. Anyway, I'm just adding this because he talked about it. By the way, they're Fletchlights. It's just that. Blanton adding in. I mean, top rope code red through a table by a 56-year-old. I will never.
Bro, that was stink.
I will never take away Dustin Rhodes' contributions and passion for this. The man signed a 6-year AEW contract. Like, the dude is, like, recently, in the last year, he's clearly in it to win it. I will not take that away. People were, you know, feeling the way they felt about him winning the TNT title and All In. It was a moment. They didn't need to do it in a four-way to give it to Kyle. They needed him to win it in a match like this against a guy like that. It was more impactful in more ways than one. It was great stuff. I'm very excited to see Kyle Fletcher debut that pink strap TNT title because that's the way you got to go. You think I'm kidding?
That's going to be obnoxious.
That's what you're going to get, and it's going to look pretty and fun. Me, Normus says, thumbtack, yambag, Jones, Tim McFall shed a tear. Once again.
Where was Taz on commentary for this? Thumbtack Jones would have went crazy.
Old Taint Tax over here. And Vala batting in Kyle and DC and Don Kyle's family might have gotten Dustin to drop all three belts at once here with the damage they did.
You know, after the damage he did to Kyle's nuts, I don't know, man. He might have did more damage to Kyle's family jewels, man. That was a savage spot, man. That was gross.
but it was good stuff. And that was AEW Collision for tonight. I thought for the live show and the end of the residency, this was the topper. This was the cake topper that people wanted, people needed. Match was great. The show was solid. It was good times. So yeah, put it over for sure. We'll be talking about it tomorrow over on In the Weeds, which is in just a few hours. We got another super chat. Gun of Death. Anyway, has any wrestler been as good as Dustin at 56? Sorry.
I will say that even though I make the joke elder abuse, let me be clear. That's like trying to fight Mike Tyson now. He's old, but that's still Mike Tyson. Dustin is old, yes, but that's still Dustin Rhodes, one of the cleanest power slams in the game. Only one like close to him is Randy Orton, in my humble opinion. And you argue with your mom because I don't want to argue with you. I make the joke elder abuse because in wrestling, 56 is ancient damn near. You know what I mean? For him to be doing the code red, I can't think of anybody else. Maybe Chris Sabin or Alex Shelley because they're time travelers. I don't know.
Action Mike Jackson.
The specter of Bob Backlund.
I mean, Sting going all the way to his retirement was a good shout. Absolutely. I mean,
Eric Young.
EY is not that old.
But he's dead. But he's dead.
You've got Matt Hardy, Christian Cage. Those guys are pushing 50. MVP as well, not as active. Cope is pushing 50. R-Truth is 50. So, like, you've got guys out here.
Somebody's saying PCO. That doesn't count either. PCO is also dead.
Yeah, PCO is just, he's just commonly dead. So it's okay.
Stop suggesting dead guys, pals. They don't count.
I'm going to see PCO in 2 weeks. Shelton B is also pushing 50. Like, they're all in their late 40s.
Shelton Benjamin, you know what he is? I did see that Chris Van Vliet video, and he said his age. I was like, there's no way. You look like perpetually 35. Perpetually 35.
CJ's another one. Chris Jericho's another guy. If he wasn't doing the reinvention stuff, people would have counted him out a year ago. Years ago, I should say.
Not evolution is mystery. Stop.
Is Shelty 50 now? I think maybe he is actually. Holy shit.
Shelton Benjamin looks good.
Yeah, he just turned, he just turned 50.
How old is Hechicero? Because I was gonna say CML got some wild hoopers over 50. And Hechicero's built like a grandpa, but he don't move like it.
Yeah. Regardless, these are people who continue to work because your prime is as good as it can be. Your primes are extended now. No longer are you done at 35. There are guys at their peak right now in their mid-40s and getting older. And they're still going, man. That's it. Anyway, we got anything else to talk about here? I think we got through two shows. We did it. Crest the Star, what you got going on?
Laughing at Hoochie Cheryl. Thank you guys so much for being here. That's a write-up over Iron Ben, by the way. I'll see you in my office. We're not making fun of people's names here. Guys, I don't think I'll be here for the SmackDown show tomorrow. Kate didn't ask me, but we'll see. Maybe next week. Who knows? I won't be here for the SummerSlam shows. And we also did Collision today. So next week, if you guys want more Crest of Star in your life, Thursdays, myself and Joe Pearl go over all things TNA. And for those like, oh, we didn't come in for TNA. Yes, you did. It's Thursday. We cover TNA. And TNA is a good show. So I expect to see you here next Thursday. Or else you'll be terminated. You will be terminated. I will come to your house personally and terminate you. Not like that. With a hug. With a hug. If you need Crest of Star outside of Fightful, you can catch me over on any forms of social media at CRESTASTARR. I love you all. You're fantastic. Joel, where can the people find you?
Oh, I'm easy to find. I'm at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL on the major socials. And of course, Blue Sky, thejoelpearl.com. Also, if you are over on Fightful Overbooked, that's our sister channel, which drops content every day. I host a little morning show called In the Weeds. It's the best wrestling morning show you'll ever see, bar none, the tops. Go watch it. 10 a.m. Eastern is when we start. So go check that out. Myself, Jeremy Lambert, SP3 drops in as well. So go, if you haven't subscribed yet, do that. If you haven't left a thumbs up yet on this video, what's taking so long? Go ahead and do it. Drop some comments. Say some nice things. Don't say some nice things. I don't care. It's engagement. Just say something. You can type, I like cheese. And guess what? It works. So go ahead and do that. Thank you, chat. Y'all were fantastic. I do not have cookies on Blue Sky, but I do have love for y'all. So for Cresta, you know who I am. You know who she is. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.